Well, can we turn to God's Word? I want us to turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And now, this is a well-known story in Numbers chapter 13. We know that Moses, people of Israel, have come out of Egypt, and now they're facing the Promised Land, and Moses picks 12 men, sends them into the land of Canaan as spies, and those men now come out of the land of Canaan, and they are to give their report. And that's where we're going to pick it up this morning in Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to commence reading at verse 30. So Numbers chapter 13, and commencing to read at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jethuim, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defences departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." This morning, you know, as we read God's word and as we look at it, I want to ask a very simple question. How well do we know our God? How well do we know our God? You know, this morning if I asked you what are the attributes of God, yes, I'm quite sure you could tell me the attributes of God. You know, yes, our God is an eternal God. He's an unchanging God. He is an all-powerful God. He is all-knowledge. He's omnipresent, present everywhere. These are the attributes of God. Many of the other attributes of God, about his purity, his love, his holiness, his justice, his mercy, his faithfulness, and so on. And yes, we know all these as the attributes of God. And that is good, and that's proper. But you know, this morning, what I want to ask you, you know, that's all head knowledge. So often it is all head knowledge. Yes, we know these things. But do we know these things deep down within our hearts and within our lives? And do we really know God in a real way this morning? You see, here in the passage we have read about, the people of Israel. Here they are, they have come out of Egypt. They've come through the wilderness. They've seen the many miracles that God has performed for them. They've seen all those plagues in Egypt. They've seen the miracles as they crossed the Red Sea and as they moved step after step in the wilderness and how God provided for them. And you would think that if anybody should know their God, those people should have known their God. And we find Moses, and he tells the 12 tribes, pick one of each of the 12 tribes, and you're to go into the land of Canaan as spies, spy out the land, report back to us and tell us what you find. You know, so these 12 men, I want you to really grasp this. that we had 12 very honorable men, 12 leaders, 12 good men, and they head into the land of Canaan to look at that land. And yet they come out with two very different reports. One is a report of all the problems that they could see. And the other report, of course, was, let's go, let's take this land. Why was there two different reports? Why was there two opposites coming out of the land of Canaan? Very simply, because the people looked through two sets of eyes. We have 10 men, and they looked. They looked through their own eyes. They looked at the problems. Yes, they seen the giants. They seen the wonderful land. They seen the walled cities, and they seen all of that. And they could not see how they, as the people of Israel, could go in and possess that land. There was no way forward. They could not see how could they do that. Simply because they were looking through their own eyes. They were only seeing from their own perspective. And we have two other men, and they came with a different report. Caleb and Joshua. And they came with a different report. Yes, they said, all those things are there. Yes, the walled cities are there. Beautiful land and all the rest of it. But what did they say? Yes, let's go and take it. Why? They didn't know how. They didn't know how they were going to take it. But they knew their God. They knew that they served a great God, an almighty God, one who had brought them right thus far into the wilderness, and now they knew the promises of God. They knew the promises of God. They knew that God had promised this as the land of Canaan. And they knew their God could take them into that land. Yes, they didn't know how they were going to fight all these different tribes and so on. Yes, they didn't know how they were going to get through all these walled cities. They didn't understand any of that. But they did know their God. And they knew that their God could take them safely into the land of Canaan to possess it. And you know, we see that there. And then we come across the situation. What happens? The people turn on them. They said, oh, it would have been better that we stayed back there. Better that we died in the wilderness. Why? Because the people did not know their God. Yes, they had head knowledge. They knew and they had seen what God had done for them. But they still weren't trusting God with all their heart and with all of their lives. And here we find Caleb in verse 6 getting up again before the people. And it says there, Joshua and Caleb, which were with them, they searched the land. They rent their clothes. They rent their clothes. First of all, I want you to see, these men were men of vision. These were men of vision. They could see things through the eyes of God. They were able to see a land full of problems, and not yet they could see that God could go before them and God could undertake for them as they would go into that land. Men of vision. Friends, this morning, what type of vision do we have? Can we see things through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we see things through the eyes of God? Can we see the almightiness of God, how he can go before us, can undertake for us day by day throughout whatever problems we may face? You know, I remember being out in India. And the very first time I was in India, I was taken to a little church on Sunday morning. And I had spoken in that little church. And I'd taken a few photographs from the platform. I turned my back, packed up my camera, and then I turned around, and much to my surprise, I found 20 people lined right across the front of the church. And I thought, well, I didn't make any appeal. What are they doing there? And I turned to the little pastor, and I said to the pastor, I said, what's everybody doing here? What do they want? He says, they want you to pray for them. Well, I says, yeah, that's okay. That's not a problem. I'll pray. And I started to pray, and he tapped me on the shoulder. He says, no. He says, you have to pray for every single one of their individual needs. Okay? He says, I'll start at one end, and I will tell you each one of their needs as we go down the line. So we started at one end, and there was a man, and yes, he had bad legs, and pray for that. And then we had a boy, and he was doing exams at school. We had another person, they had financial problems. We had a lady, she was getting married. And we had other people suffering from headaches and all sorts of things. And we moved right down that line, one after another. Why? Because those people knew their God. They knew to bring the little things, the little issues of life before their God. You see, earlier in the service, they had also had a, the pastor had got up, and he said, now, if anybody would like to share how the Lord has blessed them during this past week, would you like to get up and speak? Well, you know, I immediately, with my Western mind, thought, whoa, I brought back to our churches. How many people in our churches today, how many people here this morning, would like to be able to get up and say how the Lord has blessed them during the past week? I'm not talking about during their lifetime. I'm just saying how the Lord has blessed during the past week. And, you know, I thought, well, this could be embarrassing. There mightn't be anybody get up. But I was so wrong. Because a whole host of people all got up, one after another, and they told little small stories as to how the Lord had blessed them during the past week. And then I thought, those stories that they have just shared happen to us every week as well. But what happens? We don't even recognize them as blessings from God. We don't even grasp the blessings that He has given to us. This morning we look around us and we see all these blessings, and yes, we do want to give thanks to God for the harvest. But friends, this morning there are so many blessings that we take for granted day by day. And we put them down to all sorts of things. To our own skills, to our good communication, just to our good fortune, to the good job I have gotten, what I deserve, and so on. And yet, the blessings of God today, do we really notice them? Do we appreciate them? Do we thank the Lord for them? You know, I want to get back to Caleb and Joshua. Because here we have men, not only men of vision, but men of passion. And why do I say that? Well, if you've got a message to share to people and they don't want to hear that message, and you start to tear your clothes because you're so frustrated and so agitated and so passionate about to get that message across, you're serious when you start tearing your own clothes. These were men of passion. They had a message and they wanted that message across to the people. They were passionate. But friends, this morning we have to ask ourselves a very simple question. How passionate this morning am I about the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we can be passionate about all sorts of things. You see there the Olympics a few weeks ago. People passionate about sport. Listen to those athletes that were taking part in the Olympics. How they have worked and worked for 4 years in order to get to the Olympics and try to win a gold medal and all the rest of it. Friends, this morning, are we passionate? Passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be passionate about all sorts of things. Passionate about sport. Passionate about our jobs. Passionate about our bank accounts. Passionate about everything. But we must this morning be passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. Passionate to share the good news of the gospel. Passionate to reach out. Passionate to serve Him. To live out our lives before Him. Caleb and Joshua, they knew their God. They knew their God. Because you see down there in verse 8 and verse 9, if the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into the land and give it to us. Verse 9 there moves on down there and says, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The Lord is with us. But you know, need to move the story forward because, of course, the people of Israel didn't go into the promised land at that stage. And the story moved forward another 40 years. You turn into the beginning of Joshua. You find in Joshua 1, and you'll find the situation there has developed. And here we find Moses has gone to be with the Lord. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, this is the command of God to Joshua. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, onto this land. Joshua is now leading the people, and now God says, arise and go. What does Joshua do? We find it there in verse 11 of Joshua chapter 1. And he tells the officers of the people, pass through the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. In 3 days' time you're going over the Jordan. Here was Joshua, a man of obedience. A man of obedience. What was he doing? He was telling the people, look, he got the command from God to arise. 3 days, he told the people, we're going. We're going in 3 days' time. A man of obedience. And friends, this morning, we need to be people of obedience. Obedience to God. Obedient to His will. 3 days later, they got up and there they were. They got up and they got going. You know, we see again how their faith was tested. What was the command? The course, the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And they say it's actually harvest time in verse 3 and verse 15, chapter 3 and verse 15, we read it. And as they came that bear the Ark, they were come onto the river Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at this time of harvest. Here we are, and here were the priests. What were they to do? They literally were to take that Ark of the Covenant, go forward, and as soon as they were to put their feet, it was a step of faith, put their feet into the water. One step into the water, testing. And then, of course, then the waters opened the way for them to go over the River Jordan. One little step of faith. God didn't tell them that they would go up to their waists in the water. Didn't tell them to go up to their necks in water, just their feet. Just one little step of faith. And yet they were obedient. Obedient. Why? Because these people now knew their God. Joshua knew his God, and he was taking his people forward in obedience to the command of God. And friends, this morning, where are we? Do we take steps forward, step of faith, and follow what God wants us to do this morning? Maybe you think this morning, well, what about Caleb? What happened to him? Well, if you read right on through Joshua, if you go through to Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, you find Caleb comes to the fore yet again. And you know, it simply says there about Caleb. He is now a man 85 years old. And this is, he's referring back to the time of the spying. And this is what Caleb says. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb had known his God. And Caleb wholly followed his God. What does that word holy mean? Completely, entirely, without exception. He followed his God completely and utterly. And friends, this morning, as we are gathered here, could you and I get up this morning and say, I wholly followed the Lord my God? What about us in our own lives today? Are we wholly following the Lord? Completely, entirely, utterly following the Lord today. That is what we each need to be doing in every aspect of our lives. As we look back this past week, this past month, can I say that I have wholly followed the Lord my God? Friends, that's where we need to be today. We need to be people of vision. We need to be people of passion. We need to be people of obedience. We need to be people who are wholly following our Lord. Maybe this morning you are in our service. Maybe this morning in our service, yes, you have heard the gospel message time after time. But friends, it's all head knowledge this morning. And you have never come to that place this morning where you have bowed the knee and where you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You maybe this morning have never actually taken that step of simply coming in repentance and trusting and asking the Lord for forgiveness and asking him into your heart and into your life. Because until you do that, you will never, ever know the God that we are talking about this morning. The God, this tremendous God, this almighty God. Not a God, we don't want a God this morning that is just head knowledge. This morning we want to be able to worship a God from the very depths of our hearts. A God that we know, a God that will go before us, a God that will be with us day by day. And friends, this morning I simply leave that simple question with you. How are you serving the Lord today? Are you holy? Following the Lord, your God, today. May the Lord bless you.